upon getting independence, we decided to become democratic. So we have no experience about the democratic system, except for what we read about Britain. Britain has this system which is quite unique, in which the monarch does not rule. He is actually a figurehead, and the executive power lies with the prime minister. And of course, the government is formed by the party that has the maximum support, the highest support. That is something that we adopted without really knowing how it works. Still, I think Malaysia was able to make the democratic system function. But we need to find out what went wrong when, after many, many years of democracy, we now find ourselves being ruled as an autocracy. What went wrong with the democracy? The separation of powers between the legislative, executive, and the judiciary. If that is sustained and the rule of law is applied, I think Malaysia will continue on its way as a democracy with a little limitation. But we find, however, that it is possible for the Prime Minister to exert his influence over the executive and the judiciary. The Prime Minister totally controls the machinery of government, including the enforcement division, the police and the armed forces and other instruments like the Anti-Corruption Commission. All these things have come under the control, and as a result, the Prime Minister himself is not open to investigation or charges. Not like in other countries, even in the United States, FBI and others can openly discuss the wrongdoings of the president. But here, there is total censorship. No PTV or press may say anything against the Prime Minister. So it has become a total autocracy. So how did a democracy go into that? So we have ideas about limiting the power of the Prime Ministers. The term of the Prime Minister should be reduced, probably limit it to 2 terms, and appointments of senior officers, which currently is dependent or done entirely by the Prime Minister. Of course, he gets approval of the King, but he is the advisor of the King, and the King has to follow him. His authority should be reduced. His ability to choose senior officers who will carry out the policies of government, that actually should be open, as in the America, where a new candidate for foreign office, for example, the Secretary of State, would be subjected to questioning by the opposition and also the government party. So that is a better system to curb abuses. So we feel that choosing senior officers heads of the police and heads of the armed forces should be done by a select committee of parliament. If he gives an order to the police to do something wrong, the police will just say no. They are bound to accept his instruction, but only instruction that are not against the law. If he is asked, if he asks them, the police, go and murder that person, the police have a right to say no. The judiciary today is actually appointed by the Prime Minister, actually, as an abuse of power, it should be. Because the choice of a judge is made by the Lord President or the Chief Justice, naming the candidate, and the Prime Minister does not interfere. Basically, he just, as a token, he says yes, and he takes it before the King, and the King will approve. That is the way it should be. But when the Prime Minister takes it upon himself as a right to appoint the judiciary, then that judiciary is subservient to the Prime Minister. So in order to avoid that, we want that the appointment of senior officers will be done in Parliament with a select committee, open meeting, and that reduces the tendency of a judge to be subservient to the Prime Minister. And we can guarantee that any dismissal must go to Parliament. So that again reduces any disciplinary action should go to Parliament and all that. And that would reduce the tendency towards abuse by the Prime Minister. So we are going to give more power to Parliament. Of course, even giving more power to Parliament, one has to remember that the government party has the majority, but at least you would be able to expose the kind of candidate being proposed. If you look at the two coalitions that we form, the first coalition, BN, is a coalition of a very dominant party with satellites, actually. The satellites, there are so many of them, 13 of them, and any one of the satellites leaving the party would not bring down the government because the government is dominated by the biggest party. So because they know if you leave the coalition, you will be in the opposition. The tendency is to stay with the coalition, whatever may be their feelings. Now, the opposition coalition is different. There is no dominant party at the moment. At the moment, there is no dominant party. We are equal partners. And if we do win, and of course, unless we win with a very big majority, but that is not likely, if we do win, if any party tries to be difficult and decide to leave, the government will fall because the government doesn't have a big majority. So it is in our interest to stay together. But of course, the coalition without a dominant party would be a weaker coalition. But we need a weaker coalition. You need a strong coalition like BN. There is a tendency for the biggest party to steamroll its way and have its way all the time. So there are two coalitions now, but a different kind of coalition. And there is no intention on the part of the opposition coalition to allow any party to become dominant. So in the distribution of seats, we are almost equal to each other. But of course, that's distribution of constituencies. Winning is a different matter.